Oh, I love our church. I love church so much. I hope you all be singing that one today. Stand by me. I think that last week we talked about Jesus going up the mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration. And this week I want to give you a couple examples of why community counts, why we need to be investing in community today, because we're going to need it tomorrow. And I think all of us, whenever we were young, we probably, whether it was a coach, parent, grandparent, they would say things like, who you hang out with is going to determine who you are, what you do, some rendition of that. Would you guys kind of raise your hands if you've ever been told something along those lines in your life, okay? And those of you that have lived for just a little bit, you can say amen. Were they right? Were they right? Were they right? Who we hang out with, man, it really does affect what happens to us. And I know that whenever we hang around instigators, it tends to lead us down these roads where we might not have expected ourselves to go. And I say that because I was not a churchgoer, and I was the person who was drawing people down. I was always the guy like, yeah, you should do that. And then they, you know, hit their face or whatever it was. And so I speak as an example of the opposite. And so anyway, when it comes to community, I think it's really important that you begin to look around you and say, who am I best friends with? Who am I investing in? Who am I in community with? What are the strongest relationships I have? And are they speaking words of life into me? Are they lifting me up? Or are they tearing me down? Are they taking me down the road that's going to lead to the right place? Or are they taking me down the road that is going to lead to the wrong place? As we consider community this morning, I can tell you that Genesis Metro, we believe in like serving teams, and we have life groups for every age, for every facet, and we believe that small groups is an essential part. It's not an optional part, it's an essential part. So whenever we begin to look at Jesus as our model, he came down from heaven to earth and was born in Bethlehem, he was raised in Nazareth, and then at 30 years of age, he launched his ministry, and the first thing that he did was start a small group. And what he did for the next 3.5 years was invest in a small group. And then with that small group, he changed the world. And so I want you to consider that if Jesus thought it was important enough to model community within a small group, then how would we ever think that being in a small group or having community as an optional thing? I'm telling you right now that many people, they live in such a way that they are good until they aren't good. And today I'm gonna try to explain to you some of my arguments for why we need to have community in our lives. For instance, when we think about the Apostle Paul probably, by many standards, the greatest Christian to ever have lived. He wrote over half of the New Testament. And so he had this incredible testimony that he went on to start all of these churches which spread through Europe, and then eventually, the church that you're sitting in today is traced back to the missionary efforts of the Apostle Paul himself. So whenever you think about the Apostle Paul, you would have to say in the pantheon of greats all time that he would be up there. He would be in the discussion. And so he was writing a letter to a young man named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, he begins to make some requests. And as he makes these requests, I want you to start thinking about your life and are you living in such a way that you're surrounding yourself, investing in community? Listen to the Apostle Paul. If there was a person standing at the pinnacle of Christianity, it had to be him. And yet he says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone over to Galatia, Titus, Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Free sermon of the day. The Lord will do it better than you ever would. And the church said, hey, you know what? Your hate does not hurt them. They don't even know. So quit worrying about it, and you need to put your foot forward and move on. Anyway, and so the Lord will repay him for what he has done. You two should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Point number one, never arrive at alone. You never want to arrive at alone. If you ever find yourself in the midst of the struggle and you are alone, something has gone wrong. Whenever we look at Paul, he said, this guy Demas, he left me. He's forsaken me. And I bet everyone in here has probably had a moment where you felt like someone that you were counting on has forsaken you. He goes on to say, Alexander, the coppersmith, the metal worker, he said that he hurt me. Here is the Apostle Paul, this guy who's done all these great things, and he's taken a lot of suffering, and yet he's taking the time to write to a young preacher, and he's saying, I've been abandoned and I've been hurt. And I bet there's people that are sitting in this audience this morning that when I start talking about someone that has hurt you, you instantly have a thought that comes to your mind. Yet Paul, in the midst of having been abandoned and being hurt, he is appealing to people to come to him. He said, I need teammates. I need you to come. There's a guy named Mark. He's helpful to me in the ministry. Man, Luke is the only one that's still here with me, and I know I need more. And so if Christianity could be lived out on our own, then the Apostle Paul, who was at the pinnacle, would have found a way to do it. But if the Apostle Paul stands at the pinnacle, and yet he says, come quickly, there seems to be an urgency that when he's in a moment of need, whenever he feels hurt and he feels abandoned, that he only wants to draw people in that can minister to him, that can encourage him, that can speak words of life into him in his moment of darkness. He needed someone to, dare I say, stand by him. And so if we begin to think of ourselves in such a way that we don't need others, I don't know if I'm going to preach to someone today, but I think I will. I just think that there are some that they say, I got my bestie, and you know, she knows everything about me, and so we share everything. And so you got some dudes like, hey, these are my boys. Like, you know, I go out with them, and like, hey, I got 2 or 3 friends. That's all I need. And if you're not careful, you're surrounding yourself. Yeah, it's good to have that one. But how about 2? How about 3? How about a church? I wonder if there's a time where worldly friends aren't going to be sufficient to solve our greatest needs for spiritual purpose, for forgiveness of sin, for healing whenever we've been broken beyond repair. I don't think that they have those answers. I think that's only found in the church and the message of Jesus Christ. So I want you to begin thinking, have you ever arrived at alone? Because if you're doing Christianity right, you should have relationships with others. You shouldn't be closed off to building team. And I know that there are some controlling personalities that have high expectations. And when people disappoint you and let you down, you might have a tendency, and you just kind of, you can say amen, raise your hand, you can kind of bob your head if I start talking to you. But like, you kind of have this mentality like, other people have let me down, ergo, I'm not going to trust new people because I'm going to punish them. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Because other people in the past have let me down, right? Thank you for that hand. Wow. I'm not going to let someone in now because of what someone else did in before. I'm not getting involved in that church because the last church, this happened. So you're punishing the past people or the present people for the past people's mistakes. You know, I noticed the Apostle Paul, he said, bring me some physical things. It wasn't just that he needed people, he also needed stuff. He said, bring me my coat. And I think that's so interesting that he goes so far, like in the Bible, it's like the Holy Spirit's like, hey, put that down, cloak. And so it's like, you know, that's just so interesting to me. Every word has a purpose, right? If we believe it's the inspired word of God. And I started thinking about that. He wanted his cloak. He wanted his parchment. He's a writer. And so he said, bring me some of these physical things. And I'm going to talk to another segment of my personalities in here in the DISC paradigm that we kind of use at our church. It's called the S personality type. It's the servant. It's the peacemaker. Does anybody know if you're that? Would you just raise your hands real quick if you know you're that person? You know, you don't like to fight. You avoid confrontation at all costs. Don't like the spotlight. If I put you on the spotlight, you're like, no. And so you don't raise your hand even though you know it's you. And you're like, and then you kind of feel bad about it because you're like, oh, I should have raised my hand. But anyway. And so I know who you are. The Apostle Paul gives us kind of an illustration in community that he wasn't afraid to ask. Did you notice that? He wasn't afraid to ask them to bring him something that he needed. There's a large section of the people sitting in this room that you will never ask. You will never ask. You feel like you are a burden on other people if you ask them for something that you need. The problem is, what happens when you run out? You are finite. What happens when you run out? What happens when you haven't received from others the encouragement, the inspiration, maybe even physical things that they would have gladly given you, but you're not going to ask because you don't want to be a burden? We might even slide a little bit of pride. I don't want them to know that I need them. Boy, community is something we have to open ourselves up to. And it's uncomfortable because community, when we get close, is going to expose those rough places. It's going to expose those edges that need to be smoothed out. But I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely essential if we're going to recover from whenever people abandon us or whenever we feel hurt or whenever we are in our darkest days. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul instructs us in Ephesians chapter 6. He writes a letter to this church. And as we read this verse together, in just a moment, I want you to know that, well, super nerd out moment here. It's in the second person plural in the Greek, which for our Texas purposes, we would say y'all. So when you see the word you, that is the greater you, y'all. If you're from up north, that would be you guys. Hey, you guys. Anyway, so it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. Now, the day of evil, the Apostle Paul seems to be assuming. He's not saying that if it comes, he's saying when it comes. So that might be instructive to us of why we need to invest in community today, because the day of evil is coming for all of us, a day of hurt, a day of loss, a day of abandonment, whatever it may be. He says, when the day of evil comes, that you, y'all, the church at Ephesus, may be able to stand your ground. And after you, y'all, the church at Ephesus, have done everything, that you can stand. So what he's saying is that it's going to take us collectively deciding to put on the armor of God, to put on the things, the spiritual things. Why should I pray today? Why should I read the Bible today? Why should I invest in community today? He's saying, because when you put all of these things on, then when the day of evil comes and you put your foot in the ground, you'll have people standing beside you, and you've all in agreement stood. And when you have people standing beside you, all of a sudden you're able to stand your ground. But if the day of evil comes and you're by yourself, and when I say by yourself, I need to qualify that, because I have some people that they tend to build, you know, and I don't even want to say the word codependent, but they kind of make their spouse like a small demigod, and they only like depend on their spouse. But I'm going to tell you, you inside of your marriage is not going to be enough. At some juncture, you're going to need community surrounding you to help you. And then when you're healthy, you need to be thinking that it's a reciprocal relationship in which, are you healthy enough to help others? Because if we put on all the spiritual things that we need to put on today, then when the day of evil comes for someone else and they put their foot in the ground, then I'm going to be there to prop them up, and I'm going to help them be able to stand while they're feeling absolutely no strength. So this is a collective engagement in this process. I want you to begin thinking, how is it that you are investing and putting on these things so that you can help others stand? Because I've been there when the day of evil comes. Unfortunately, as a pastor, I usually get the phone call when the day of evil comes. I've picked grown men up off the ground that are broken by a relationship that has gone south, weeping uncontrollably. I've been on the phone talking grown people, adults, Christians, out of taking their lives. I've buried children that were taken way before their time and had to try to explain to parents, if there's a God, why would something like this happen? I've been there when the day of evil comes. What I'm trying to explain to you is that it is not a probability. It is an absolute that hurt and harm, because we live in a sin-filled, fallen world, is going to come to all of us. We need to invest in our Christian relationships, because we're going to need someone to hold us up when we go through those dark days. I have 27 years of preaching, ministry, pastoring data, and I'm pretty sure you can ask any pastor if you want to cross-reference me. I've seen the day of evil come with people that have community, and I've seen the day of evil come with people who choose to not live in community. And there is a stark difference between the two. Because what we're doing in here on Sunday, that's collective corporate worship. This is great. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's incredible. It's so good. However, I would like to prove to you a point, and you will help me in this exercise. Have you ever, now let's be honest, and let's just show all the guests that are in here that we are an authentic body of believers, okay? So before Jesus himself, I want you to answer this question. Are you ready? All right. Have you ever come in here on a Sunday and faked it? By show of hands, have you ever come in here on a Sunday and you faked it? You weren't there mentally, you weren't there spiritually, you weren't listening, you sang the songs, but nothing is just like words coming out of your mouth, nothing. You sat there and like looked off into space because something else was on your, you just went through the motions because it was Sunday and it was time to go. Oh, you can fake it on Sundays. But if you serve with some people, or if you do life with some people, boy, at some point, those edges get exposed, and then you have a chance to share life with one. And what you'll find is that we are all going through this thing together, and you find commonality with people that have either been through the struggle or are going through the struggle and have answers that you might not have. And then as a collective, we take our stand because we put on the armor of Christ. We put on the word of God. We put on the shield of faith. We put on all of this, and it helps each other in their day of evil to stand. I'm going to tell you that our staff, we want to be there for you. But so many of you, we are past the point that you know what to do. So it's just a matter of like choosing. We got to bite the bullet. We got to make some sacrifices. We need community in our lives, because we don't want to get to that place where we fall and there's no one there to pick us up, where we're hurting and we're all alone. We're a part of a church, but we're not part of a church. So I want to encourage you in community today that if you're not part of a serving team, if you're not part of a small group, that you would consider trying one on in the very near future. We would love to help you out with that. And I want to close up with a fun illustration that I think will work out for all of us. And there was a story in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel, I think it is, like 21. David is going out to battle. And this battle is going to be a line of demarcation because everything is getting ready to change for David's life. And it says that as he was in the midst of this battle, that he grew exhausted. And I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but y'all can, you can help me out a little bit on this sermon, but you can just let me know, like, is there any part of the way you do life now where you try to do the same things that you used to do, but you can't quite do them the way that you used to do. Has anybody ever had this experience? Yeah? Like, has anybody got to the place where you actually now start thinking about it before you do it? Like, is this like, do I want to be able to walk next week if I do this? Does anybody else like think like this? Like you've gotten to that point? Like I think we all kind of get to that point where we can't quite do what we used to. We're not as sprightly as we used to be, okay? And so here is David, and he's out there in the battle, and it says that he grew exhausted. And it's amazing how the enemy always knows when you are getting tired. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Like at your moment of weakness, that there's always that temptation that comes in. When you find yourself alone, the enemy will always find you. And there is David. It says that he grew weary, he was exhausted, and there was a guy named Ishbi-Benob, all right? Don't name your kid that. That's a terrible name. Ishbi-Benob, and he was a Philistine. He was one of the family members of Goliath himself. And it says that he noticed that David was exhausted, and he thought to himself, I will strike him down. I love Old Testament justice. Because it says there was this guy that was one of David's guys named Abishai, and that he saw Ishbi begin to attack David. And it says that he went and he struck him down. I like it. Does anybody else like Old Testament justice? Like, bad guy, wham, dead. All right. My kind of Bible. And so here is Abishai. Watch this. He's in the fight. The battle is going on around him, but he's got one eye on the fight, and he's got one eye on his friend. Do you think it's important for us to have friends that will not only fight with us, but when we're weak, they will fight for us? I want to show you this as we wrap up today. Matt, would you come up here? Matt is my opponent. Would y'all welcome Matt Stark to the stage? Matt is, Aiden, will you come here for a second? Will you take this and move it back there, backstage for a second? I don't want it to get knocked over. Thank you so much. Matt, at this juncture in his life, is in infinitely better shape than I am. I don't know if y'all can tell. There are several tank top manufacturers that send him their tank tops. He puts it on, and then they thumbs up, thumbs down as a result. And so some of us call him Tank Top. And so, but if I go in the Wayback Time Machine on my best day, okay, like, I don't know, 26, 27, my full powers, and we tumbled, I'm thinking like 1 out of 10, okay? 1 out of 10, I could probably take Stark, okay? But I'm gonna tell you right now, 45-year-old Tim, if we tumbled right now, it would be about 30 seconds, and I would be a little spot that's on this stage right here. I got no stamina, my strength isn't what it used to be, and I just quite frankly break all the time, okay? And so Matt is my opponent. But the great news is that I'm not going to fight fair. I have some friends that I've invited to join me in this process. And so, my friends, if you would, come help me. Come please, quickly, to the stage. And I wanted us to begin, you just get right there. There you go. And I wanted you to start thinking, if you read, if you read carefully, it says that David had 600 men, but within the 600 he had 37. And the 37 were the closest to him. And Abishai was one of those 37. And so, he had some men around him that he had invested in. We studied this spring. We went through the whole series of David, and we talked about how long he was on the run. I think it was some 14 years. 14 years he had invested in a small group amongst the bigger group. And on that day that he grew tired, on that day that he grew weary, because he had invested in the past, he had community in the present. When he finally faced an opponent that David himself couldn't take down, he wasn't fighting by himself. He had people around him to fight not just with him, but he had someone fight for him. I hope you'll remember this. Matt, I got $100 if you can touch me, all right? And go. Dogpile. Dogpile City. All right, don't let him up. Don't let him up. It hurts my illustration if you let him up. I just want you to think for just a moment. If I have this many people, and I promise you, every one of these guys that are standing on this stage, I've lived a little bit of life with. Hey, calm down over there. I can just bet that's Garms down there talking. I've lived a little bit of life with these guys, just like many of you sitting out in the audience. I can tell you that I've tried to invest my life in other people because I want every angle covered. Because I know that I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not as fast as I used to be. And there's gonna come a day where I can't do what I used to be able to do. But if I've invested my life in community, on those days that I grow weary, and on those days that I am weak, I got every angle covered because I have community in my life. You can let him up, and let's thank them for coming up and helping us today. I don't know if you noticed there are some that enjoyed the physicality more than others. Aiden Kilbane. Anyway, I told Aiden he was going to tackle someone this morning. He's like, yeah, what, who, right now? Point him out. Boom. Anyway, so we're going to transition into a reflection time. And I just wanted to think back where we started the message this morning. And if you're in a place where you felt like you're alone, even in a group of believers, if you feel like you have been through some times where you've been abandoned or forsaken or hurt or betrayed, can I just ask you to consider taking a step toward community, whether that is getting involved, whether that's showing up, whether that's serving, whether that's life groups are coming up. We have another sisterhood event this week. I mean, there's so many ways. But I'm telling you, it breaks my heart when people have that evil day and they don't have anyone around them to pray for them, to encourage them, to bear that burden. So today, I think we can commit afresh, and maybe some of us can rethink our priorities, because it takes an investment. I promise you, community will not happen on accident. You won't just like stumble into it one day. It means that some days that you're gonna have to say, you know what, do I wanna turn on the TV or do I wanna go help someone? Do I wanna turn the alarm off or turn the phone off, or do I wanna be able to answer the phone call and go help someone? Yeah, it's gonna cost you, but all the investment, boy, I'm gonna tell you, when your day comes, you're gonna need it. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that we would learn from your example, God, that we all need community. And that it's not really about us. If we get to the place where we're healthy, God, it's about us giving that same help away to be your message of hope, your message of healing to people that are walking through life lost, God. I pray that we would always be a church that prepares and that invests in community so that when other people come in here and they're looking for someone to take a stand with them, God, they'll find a church family that they can count on, that they know is going to be a rock whenever their earth is shaken. As I was listening to that song this week, Stand By Me, and it talks about the sky and the mountains, and everything is falling and chaos is ensuing, and everything that you thought was so stable is now unstable, and what do? He says, as long as I have you, I can stand. As long as I have community, I can stand. Today, I pray that you would let us be that community for you, that you would let us encourage you. Perhaps there is at least one person who has yet to accept Christ, and you're trying to figure out, what is this guy talking about? When you talk about ultimate community, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came from heaven to earth to die on a cross to save you from your sins, to save me from my sins, to save the world from their sins. And he made that available to you, to all of us. That if we would confess our need as a sinner, that he would give us grace, that he would completely cover us and make us white as snow, that he would make us new and whole. And so today, maybe as we go through this reflection time, if you've yet to accept Christ, I have some very good news for you. It's not dependent on you. It's not depending on you going through some ceremony. It's not dependent on you being a part of a brand or a denomination. It's about whether or not you are willing to accept what Jesus did and make him the Lord of your life. Church, would you guys stand with us, and we're going to worship the God that has come after us. And I want us to just take a moment. If God has ever sent someone in this church on your day that you needed someone, will you give him a round of applause for the community that happens on a weekly basis at this church? Oh, it's all around you. You just got to tap in to what's already there. Let's sing.